Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Finals Countdown series, brought to you by MedTalks. I'm Nimrath, and today we'll be starting the ophthalmology series with the first lecture on red eye. As always, please remember to share these episodes with your peers and check out all of our other episodes on podcast platforms such as Apple and Spotify. Red eye is one of the commonest ophthalmic complaints that a patient can present with. It is also widely tested in medical school examinations, and so it is very important to have a sound understanding of the differential diagnoses to consider in a patient presenting with red eye. There are a number of different ways to structure the different causes for a red eye. In this session, I will go through them based on the anatomical structure that's affected. So let's begin with the conjunctiva. Conjunctivitis is a very common cause of red eye. It is usually caused by infection, allergy, or inflammation. Symptoms and signs that are typical of conjunctivitis are red eye, no photophobia, and no loss of vision, and also epiphora, or watering eyes. The different causes of conjunctivitis present in slightly different ways, and recognizing how to differentiate between them is important to ensure the correct treatment is delivered. So let's have a look at bacterial conjunctivitis first. Bacterial conjunctivitis typically begins unilaterally, but can be spread to the other eye, especially if the patient is rubbing their eyes frequently. The important differentiating factor here is the presence of thick or mucopurulent discharge from the affected eye. On inverting the eyelid to expose the palpebral conjunctiva, there may be the presence of papillae. This characteristic cobblestone appearance describes papillary conjunctivitis and is most commonly caused by contact lens use. However, it is also important to exclude any other foreign bodies that may be trapped in the eye. So let's look at the most common suspects in bacterial conjunctivitis. Strep pneumoniae, Haemophilus influenza, and Staph aureus are the commonest bacteria implicated in the pathogenesis of bacterial conjunctivitis. Ophthalmia neonatorum is a hyperacute bacterial conjunctivitis of the newborn, which may also coexist alongside corneal ulceration and perforation. This usually occurs during delivery as the baby passes through the birth canal of a mother infected with Neisseria gonorrhea or chlamydia, which are two further causes of bacterial conjunctivitis in the newborn. So the treatment for bacterial conjunctivitis would involve a course of topical antibiotics, such as chloramphenicol or fusidic acid. Chlamydial conjunctivitis can also occur in adults, and this typically is again unilateral in presentation and will present with a sticky conjunctival discharge and lid crusting. With chlamydial conjunctivitis, the history will be key, and exploring this patient's sexual history will help you to understand if they are at a higher risk of a sexually transmitted infection. Patients with chlamydial conjunctivitis are usually sexually active and may have associated infection of the genitalia. Chlamydial conjunctivitis can be treated with an oral tetracycline, such as doxycycline, or second line, a macrolide, such as azithromycin. They can also be administered topically for a more local effect. So now let's have a look at viral conjunctivitis. Viral conjunctivitis is highly contagious, and the adenovirus is the most common cause. So this means that any patient in whom you suspect viral conjunctivitis, you should also check in the history if there was any recent upper respiratory tract infections that they may have. Viral conjunctivitis typically presents as a bilateral disease. In contrast to bacterial conjunctivitis, viral conjunctivitis will present with watering from the eyes without any discharge. On examination, the eyes may be intensely hyperemic and may also be associated with follicles in the inferior palpebra. And you may also note some small hemorrhages and inflamed membranes. The patient may also have palpable lymph nodes. When treating viral conjunctivitis, you can reassure the patient that it typically self-resolves within a few weeks and that no specific treatment is required. But it's also very important to ensure that the patient is well educated in hand and face hygiene due to the highly transmissible nature of viral conjunctivitis. One of the other causes is herpes simplex virus, and in this case, topical antivirals can be used in treatment. One of the final types of conjunctivitis is allergic conjunctivitis, and this also presents bilaterally with watering eyes. Patients will typically complain that the eyes are very itchy, and a common sign that one may see is chemosis, which is essentially edema of part of the conjunctiva. These patients will have typically a background or a family history of hay fever or other atopy. Investigations should aim to exclude any infection, but if you are considering a specific allergen, patch testing may be considered for further investigation. Treatment of allergic conjunctivitis would depend on its severity. Most of them should resolve after exposure to the allergen has been removed, but symptomatic relief can also be provided by oral antihistamines or NSAIDs. In more severe cases, topical corticosteroids may be considered. Moving away from conjunctivitis, a subconjunctival hemorrhage is another common cause of red eye. This is where there is a pooling of blood behind the conjunctiva. It is painless and may spontaneously occur or secondary to trauma. You can reassure patients who come in with a subconjunctival hemorrhage that this will spontaneously resolve, but it is important to rule out any basal skull fractures. And if there are recurrent episodes, consider looking for any bleeding disorders. So now we've had a look at the conjunctiva, let's move on to the sclera. There are two pathologies affecting the sclera that medical students should be aware about. These are episcleritis and scleritis. Episcleritis is inflammation of the vascular connective tissue layer, which lies between the conjunctiva and the sclera. It is often asymptomatic, but could present with mild tearing or irritation. On examination, you would typically see a localized injection and clearly defined bright red vessels. The eye may also be tender to palpation. The cause of episcleritis may always not be apparent, and in many cases may be idiopathic. Some speculate that it could also occur secondary to tiredness or long periods of screen time. But it's also important to be aware that it could be a sign of an underlying systemic condition, such as rheumatoid arthritis or lupus. Episcleritis is self-limiting in the vast majority of cases, but can last for a few months. Symptomatic relief can be targeted with lubricants or oral NSAIDs, and in more severe cases, topical steroids may be used. Scleritis, on the other hand, involves more generalized inflammation of the sclera. In this scenario, patients may present with a severe, boring pain in addition to photophobia. On examination, you typically will see more of a bluish red sclera with diffuse and nodular erythema. The eye may be watering and can be tender on palpation and ocular movement. In some very rare cases, you may actually get a painless thinning of the sclera in which the underlying uveal tissue becomes exposed, and this condition is known as scleromalacia perforans. Scleritis is commonly associated with systemic disease, and this most commonly is rheumatoid factor positive rheumatoid arthritis. So treatment would involve treating this underlying disease, and in most cases, corticosteroids, NSAIDs, and immunosuppressants are indicated. It is important to clinically be able to distinguish scleritis and episcleritis. And one way to do this is to understand that episcleral vessels will move when they are probed with cotton wool buds, and they will blanch with the application of topical phenylephrine. In scleritis, the deeper scleral vessels will neither move nor blanch with the phenylephrine. And so now let's look at the causes of red eye in relation to the cornea. Keratitis is inflammation of the cornea. And common causes include the herpes simplex and the herpes zoster viruses. Bacterial causes of keratitis include Staphylococcus aureus, Pseudomonas, and Strep pneumoniae. There are also some systemic conditions associated with keratitis, such as rheumatoid arthritis and other connective tissue disorders and Crohn's disease. A typical patient would present with watering eyes and a blurring of their vision. They may also complain of photophobia and painful eyes. On examination, it's important to stain the eye with fluorescein, as this can reveal any corneal ulcerations. In herpes simplex virus, you will see the characteristic dendritic ulcers when stained with fluorescein. Dendritic ulcers are a sign of active virus replication. Management of keratitis includes antivirals if the cause is viral in nature, mydriatics, and topical steroids to minimize the risk of corneal scarring. It's important to reduce this risk as much as possible, as corneal scarring can lead to significant visual impairment, and in such cases, a corneal transplant may be considered to improve vision. Corneal abrasions are another condition to be aware of when looking at a red eye. This is characterized by a breach in the epithelium of the cornea. Typically, patients will present with an intensely painful watering eye and associated photophobia and decreased vision. Corneal abrasions most commonly occur from accidental scratches and foreign bodies, such as contact lenses. Again, it is important to stain the eye with fluorescein during examination, and this can help reveal any corneal lesions. It is also important to invert the eyelid and ensure that no foreign bodies have been missed. Treatment involves symptomatic relief through oral NSAIDs. Topical antibiotics can also be prescribed to prevent an infection, as well as topical lubricants and ointments. It is also important to make sure that patients understand to avoid inserting contact lenses while the eye is healing. Now, moving backwards again through the eye, we come to the iris. And here we're going to look at anterior uveitis or iritis. So remember that the uvea is divided into the iris, the ciliary body, and the choroid. Anterior uveitis typically has a subacute onset, which develops over hours to days. 70% of cases are idiopathic, but anterior uveitis is heavily associated with systemic disease, and particularly those that are HLA B27 positive. A really useful acronym to remember here for some of the HLA B27 associated conditions is PAIR, P-A-I-R. P for psoriatic arthritis, A for ankylosing spondylitis, I for inflammatory bowel disease, and R for Reiter syndrome. Other important causes include sarcoidosis, Behçet's disease, and infection. Typical presenting features of anterior uveitis is pain, photophobia. There may also be some perilimbal conjunctival injection, and the patient will complain of blurred vision. On examination, you may notice a small pupil that is poorly reactive. This is initially due to spasm of the iris. As disease progresses, the pupil may become more irregular or dilate irregularly due to adhesions forming between the iris and the lens. On slit lamp examination, there are a number of signs to be aware of. Cells in the anterior chamber, and also keratic precipitates, which are essentially clumps of white cells that attach to the back of the cornea. You may also see a hyperpion, which is pus within the anterior chamber. Important investigations to consider in anterior uveitis include screening for systemic disease, especially in reoccurring or bilateral cases. Management will involve prompt diagnosis and treatment of the underlying systemic condition. Madretics and cyclopegics can also help, as they allow the pupil to dilate and rest the ciliary muscle. Topical or oral steroids are also commonly prescribed to further help reduce the inflammation. There are also two emergency conditions that may present with red eye, and these are endophthalmitis and acute angle closure glaucoma. Endophthalmitis is inflammation within the inside of the eye and is most commonly caused by an infection. You should consider endophthalmitis in any patient who may have recently had an operation on the eye or even a procedure such as an intravitreal injection. It may also occur secondary to a penetrating injury. The patient will typically present with a red eye, photophobia, visual reduction, and a lot of pain. In endophthalmitis, prompt diagnosis is required, and usually a vitreal tap will be taken and the sample sent for MCNS. Following this, intravitreal antibiotics will be administered and the patient will be sent home with a course of topical antibiotics. In more severe cases, the patient may be admitted to hospital and given intravenous antibiotics. Remember, time's of the essence when treating endophthalmitis, as the patient is at risk of losing their vision or even becoming completely blind. The other ophthalmic emergency to consider in a patient presenting with red eye is acute closed-angle glaucoma, but we will be discussing this in our separate lecture on glaucoma. And so that wraps up today's session. We have looked at the different causes of red eye, including conjunctivitis, which can be divided into bacterial, viral, and allergic, keratitis and corneal abrasion, scleritis and episcleritis, anterior uveitis, and also endophthalmitis. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you all for listening, and we hope you found it useful. Please give us your feedback via the Apple Podcast channel or send us a message via Instagram. Of course, share this with your friends and peers, and we've got plenty of more useful talks coming up in this series, so stay tuned for those. Thank you.